Book of 2 Kings, chapter number 2. I want to go back this morning where we were this morning and try to conclude the thought tonight. Some of the things the Lord has put on our heart in 2 Kings chapter number 2. We'll begin reading in verse 19, because this is where the last part of the message is going to come from, 19 through 25 of 2 Kings 2. And the men of the city said unto Elisha, "Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is naught, and the ground barren. And Elisha, he said, bring me a new cruse and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. And he went forth into the spring of the waters and cast the salt in there and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake." In verse 23, the Bible said he went up from thence unto Bethel. We found out in that first message that Bethel is the house of God. And he was going up by the way. There came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, "Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head." And he turned back, and he looked on them, and he cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood, and Terah 42 children of them. And he went from thence to Mount Carmel, and from thence he returned to Samaria. If correctly read, that's verse 19 down through verse 25 in 2 Kings chapter 2. Begin talking about this message in the latter part of chapter 2, when where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where do you find him? And we've been following Elijah through his life, and now we've kind of taken off on a trail looking at Elisha and his life. Elisha, of course, asked Elijah for a double portion of the Spirit of God to be poured on him. When Elijah left, he said, if you're with there, he said, then it'll be granted. And certainly it was granted. We talked about this morning how that the Lord God can be found in the reflection, how that the Spirit of God, they saw there in verse number 15, some of the prophets which were to view at Jericho, they saw Elisha, and they said, the Spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. You know something tonight? We're never going to see a move of God unless it's of the Spirit of God. And I believe personally that we need God to move in our hearts first. And that when God begins to move in his children's heart, then it ain't going to be long till he's going to be moving on the hearts of those that are not his children, that they might become children of the living God. He appears in that reflection. He appears in instruction. We saw this morning how that Elisha instructed those men not to go looking for Elijah. And yet they turned that instruction aside. I'm glad today that even though there are many, we were actually standing the other day at East Lawn, and the funeral director there was talking about, and Brother Joe, Sister Nell, was talking about how many of these people. And, you know, I was standing there and the thought crossed my mind. I know we live in the Bible Belt, which is going to be better than a lot of areas in the country. But our Bible still said broad is the way. You think about that for just a minute. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many are going that way. Narrow is the way that leadeth to life. A few there be that find it. But I thank the Lord for the few, don't you? That God has a remnant on the earth today. Now tonight, what I want to look at, and if we could for just a few minutes together, I'd like to look at the last couple of things the Lord dealt with my heart about. And that would be number three, the Lord appears. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? He appears in the situation. Look in verse number 19. The word of God said, "And the men of the city said unto Elisha, Behold, I pray thee, the situation of the city is pleasant." You can go back and learn about Jericho and learn that it was a place that was a pleasant place. Of course, the Lord had put a curse upon the place. And, you know, there's all kinds of ways you could read into this. But it seems to me like that Elisha can't do anything without God. And it seemed to me like it was the will of God to heal the waters here, amen, and to bring the blessing once again. So he appears in this situation. You know, the Bible teaches us here that the city is pleasant, but there's a but here, as my Lord seeth, but the water is not. I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but you know, water is a necessity. It's not a luxury. You have to have it. I don't remember, I didn't look it up, but a very, very large percentage of our body is water. And the human body has to have water. If you're going to have a city, it's got to have water. And they were in a strait here because the water was poison, so to speak, and the water was no good, and you couldn't drink it. It couldn't grow anything. It was actually to the point that it made the ground barren. Now, that's got to be some pretty sorry water if it's, you know, making the ground barren. I'd kind of like to have some of it to put where the weeds are, Brother Gary, if it would take care of the weeds once and for all, amen, that we don't want to grow, but we don't have that luxury. But I want you to look here as the Lord appears in the situation, and where is the Lord God of Elijah? He saw the need. And the need was brought before Elisha, and Elisha's going to do something about it. He said, "Bring me a new cruse." I believe there's a couple of things here that we need to think about tonight. You know, the world, listen, I don't know about you, but when I have my grandchildren around me, it's pleasant. Man, I love having them around, amen. I love the weather's breaking right now, and we can go out in the yard and go out in the driveway, and God willing, I'm going to build them a swing set before long. It's not going to be anything like anybody sells. It'll be what Papaw builds. When I get done with it, it'll be what it is. I've got it between my ears, but one day it'll be there in the yard for the children to play on, amen? And then I'll have to keep them big old boys off of it, won't I, Brother Larry, amen? That's what God made BB guns for, amen? I can sit on the back porch and keep them off of it, amen? No, I'm just kidding. But I want you to know tonight that I think there's some typology going on here. We're in a pleasant situation in our lives, many of us, but there's always going to be that comes along that's not pleasant, that comes along that's seemingly poisonous. And the Word of God, talking about our society, and I believe is this new cruise is typical of the Christian. The Bible said that he made us a new creature in Christ Jesus. In another place, the Word of God said that you're the salt of the earth. So God didn't just make us a new creature when he saved us, but how many's glad he put some salt in us, amen? And I hadn't thought about this. I've often heard the saying, and you have too, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. I'll tell you how you can make it drink. Give it some salt. Say amen. You give that horse some salt, honey, and he'll want to drink a water. You give them cows some salt, they'll want to drink a water. And so I believe, listen to me carefully. I'm trying not to be critical, but truthful. I believe a lot of the reason the world's in the shape it's in is God's people have lost their saltiness. There's not a thirst in the world around us for what we have. Does that make any sense? I believe, beloved, listen, that Jesus said if we lose that saltiness or that savor, so to speak, he said it's not good for anything. Just cast it out on the ground. And listen, I'm speaking to me. I'm not preaching just to you, but I want to be salty, don't you? I want to be so salty that when I get around folk, amen, they'd want what I have. Let me just rephrase that. They'd want who I have. His name is Jesus. Amen. And so we see here that the Lord shows up in this situation. Salt is a preservative. Salt is a purifier. And the Lord told us that we are the salt of the earth. It retards spoilage. It seasons and it gives flavor and makes food more palatable and enjoyable. How many can say when Christ came into your life, he made your life more enjoyable? Say amen. And I appreciate that. I really do. It causes thirst. And then there's something else that salt does. It irritates. Brother Steve, one of those tapes that you gave me, and I've not been listening to many lately. I just haven't had time. But one of those tapes that you gave me, I thought about this when I was studying. Salt irritates. I mean, if you've got an open wound, you pour salt in it, honey. It irritates. Amen. Now, it might help with the healing, but at that time, it's going to hurt. Amen. And I thought about something that Brother Jack used to say. I heard him say it on the tape. He said, if that rubs you fur the wrong way. Amen. In other words, salty preaching will rub the fur the wrong way sometimes. But he said, if that rubs your fur the wrong way, he said, turn the cat around. I like that. Amen. When I heard him say that, that's something I'll never forget. Because I know that that's true. Amen. That it's not the salt's not the problem. Amen. It's the wound that the salt's being poured into. Amen. And, I heard an old preacher said, he said, if you're going to bust or hide on Sunday morning, he said, for God's sake, don't come back and pour salt in it on Sunday night. I thought that's some pretty good advice, amen. He told me another thing, and this way back early in the ministry, he said, you need to remember something. He said, sheep need to be fed every day. He said, you just shear them once a year. I like that. He said, you just get in that pulpit and start shearing them every Sunday and you'll look around and you won't have no sheep. That's what he said. You can't shear sheep every Sunday. Good advice. Say amen. And here in the Word of God, he appears in this situation. The salt was one of the most important staples in ancient times. It was viewed as far as like with wine and oil as a sign of prosperity. They didn't have refrigeration, so meat would spoil. And I actually learned this, and I could take you to the verses. One of them is Leviticus 2:13. If you just want to, I'll just go ahead and read it to you. I printed it out. I forgot about that. The Bible's teaching us here in Leviticus 2:13. It says, "In every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with salt. Neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from the meat offering. With all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt." Now listen to me. Listen, I'm still learning along the way. Maybe somewhere along the way I knew that, but that jumped out at me this time. They couldn't even offer in the Old Testament an offering to God without salt. And I'm wondering tonight if God ain't trying to tell us something, amen? It's not just what we do on the outside, but there needs to be some salt in our lives in order for that offering to be acceptable unto God. Kind of what I think the Apostle Paul said. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, have not charity, I'm become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. I wonder if that's not what he's talking about, beloved. Listen, it needs to be that's offered in our life that is birthed by the Spirit of the living God that lives down inside of you and inside of me. Over in the book of Ezekiel, the Bible said, thou shalt offer them before the Lord. The priests shall cast salt upon them. They shall offer them up for a burnt offering unto the Lord. It was the salt that made the offering or the sacrifice acceptable, because the salt spoke of God's covenant to save you and I through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight, let me get to the last thing in the message. Now, where is the Lord God of Elijah? I'm glad that he shows up and he appears in that reflection. He appears in the instruction. But then in these verses, he appears in this situation that is before us. One thing I picked up on too, beloved, listen. You know, Elisha, if I read that correctly, let me look back here. They brought it to him. Look at verse 21. And he went forth unto the spring of the waters. I think there's something important right there. He said, preacher, what are you trying to say? Well, you know, if you find the head of the spring, everything downstream is affected by what's going on at the head of the stream. And I believe that listen, when you're talking about that new cruise, when you're talking about the salt, that our Lord, the Holy Spirit of God, goes right to the head of the stream. He's not looking at our eyes, our ears, our mouth, what we're doing. Amen. It's our heart. Everything proceeds from the heart. And so the Spirit of God deals with our heart that we might be made right with God. And so tonight, he appears in the situation. Now, this last thing I'm going to tell you about tonight, it's not popular. And listen, I know it's not popular, but it's true. You might wonder tonight, listen, when you read verse 23, 24, and 25, you might wonder tonight, well, what happened to pray for them that despitefully use you? What happened to them, pray for them that persecute you? What happened to them is render unto no man evil for evil. What happened over there? It was in the book of Romans. I can't remember the verse right off. Let me turn over here and see if I can find it. What happened to, you might think if you're thinking about Christianity, what happened in these situations? What's going on right here? Let me see. I'll find it in just a minute. Let's see. Well, maybe I won't find. Yeah, I will. I know where it is now. It's in Romans, but I'm too early in Romans. What happened to this right here? It said, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, how many knows in the Bible, God makes no mistakes? And so here's what I believe God is saying to us right here. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? He shows up here in the reflection, in the instruction. He shows up in the situation. But he appears one more time, and that is in damnation. You see, preacher, people don't want to look at that. They don't want to see that side of God in the Bible. They don't want to see that over there in the book of Proverbs when God said, I will mock when your fear cometh. I will laugh at your calamity. And listen, you can say whatever you want to, beloved, but according to the Bible right here, there was a bunch of youngins, no doubt, had been raised in idolatrous homes. Are you listening to me? That were given to idol worship. Amen. And they were mocking the man of God. Do you understand? Listen to me. The man of God has just been used by God to send them fresh water. And they're mocking the man. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, we're living in an age and a day of grace. But you mark what I'm fixing to say, God is fixing to shut the door. And judgment's coming. Damnation is coming upon those that have mocked the word of God, mocked the message of God, and mocked the God of heaven. It's coming. And the Bible said here, he went up from thence unto Bethel. He's going to the house of God. As he was going up, by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him. I've read after some commentators that say, well, these may have been older. But I'll tell you this, it says little children, I'm just going to take it for what it says. And they're mocking the man of God. Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned and he looked on them and he cursed them in the name of the Lord. Now let me just say this to you. I don't have a lot of sense, but I've got sense enough to know if God was not pleased. Number one, that spirit, that double portion the choir sang about a while ago had fallen on Elisha. He couldn't do what he was doing apart from the Spirit of God. And I've got sense enough to know, listen, that God is in control. And if God was not pleased with what Elisha did, the she-bears wouldn't have come out like they did and mauled those youngins. Amen. God is trying to teach us something here in the Word of God. That is, the day of grace will be over one day. Judgment will come one day. The door that's now open wide will be shut one day. You say, preacher, I just can't see that in the Bible. You don't have to look any further than the ark. You don't have to look any further than the flood. The word of God said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. I'm telling you, beloved, there was a day when God said to Noah and his wife and his boys and their wives, come thou in. That put God on the inside of the ark. Listen, God wasn't on the outside with the heathen. God was on the inside with his children. And he said, come in. And God shut the door. A little while later, it began to rain. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, they had never seen rain. God had watered the earth with a mist that come up from the ground. For 120 years, that man of God has stood and said, it's going to rain. It's going to rain. He was building a boat. Modern shipbuilders still build ships to the proportion of the ark as far as the depth and the length and the width. God knew what would float. Amen. When the world was flooded, God knew. And here we're seeing a picture. God is showing up in judgment. God is showing up in condemnation. God is showing up in damnation. And I believe it's important to see that. They turned back and looked on him, cursed him in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tare 42 children of them. And he went from thence to Mount Carmel. And from thence he returned to Samaria. I believe it's important to understand tonight. The Bible said, how many remembers the word resist this morning? Or refuse. They refuse instruction. Listen to what the word of God said. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. That's Romans 13 and verse number 2. Beloved, listen, there was a lot of people in Noah's day. They thought they were refusing and resisting Noah. They got it wrong. They were not resisting and refusing Noah. They were not resisting and refusing Noah's message. They were refusing Noah's God and the word of the living God. I tell you, I personally believe, listen to me carefully. Listen, this happened to me a few times when I was younger. But if you preach the word of God, somebody's going to get mad somewhere along the way. And Brother Cole, maybe God's saying this for you tonight, brother. I don't know. I had to learn it early. But we need to not, my friend, wear a chip on our shoulder. We don't need to respond to that. We need to realize they're not mad at us. They're mad at our God. If we're preaching that book, amen, they need to take it up not with me, not with the deacons, but with the God of heaven, amen, if it comes out of that book. I appreciate that tonight. He appears in damnation. Jesus told the Pharisees, you serpents, you generation of vipers, how shall ye escape the damnation of hell? Jesus said in Matthew 23:14, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense ye make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Beloved, listen, you know it and I know it. It's not being preached in our generation. Amen. I mean, we've got a feel-good gospel, amen, a tickle-your-ear gospel. And I'm telling you right now, if you preach the whole counsel of God, you'll preach love, you'll preach grace, you'll preach mercy, but you'll preach the damnation of a holy God that's coming, beloved, on a Christ-rejecting people. You'll preach that too. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. Listen to Revelation 19, and I'm done. In Revelation 19:11, John the Revelator, he was the one that was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, exiled on the Isle of Patmos. He said, and I saw heaven opened. Now listen to me carefully. And behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Brother Brian and I were discussing the Bible school yesterday. And the Bible school, I believe, is going to be centered around faithfulness. And I just mentioned this as we were talking. I said, you know, Brother Brian, verses begin to come to my mind. I said, there needs to be at least one night of the Bible school dedicated to God's faithfulness. Honey, hallelujah, God is faithful, the Bible said, amen. And the Word of God said His name is faithful and true, and in righteousness He doth, what's these words? Judge and make war. He said, preacher, that's not the Christ of the Bible. Oh, yes, it is. It might not be the one you've heard about, beloved, but that is the Jesus of the Bible. He's not just a God of mercy offering salvation. He's also going to be a God of judgment. The Bible said here, His eyes were as a flame of fire. His head were many crowns. On His head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself. And He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And His name is called the Word of God. Listen to me carefully. Listen to me. It's not His blood this time. It was His blood that He shed at Calvary. It's not His blood this time, beloved. Listen, there's going to be a war. You say, preacher, what's going on? And the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of His mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword, that it might with it He might smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. When's the last time you heard somebody say wrath of Almighty God? It's right there in the book. You say, what happened to those children back there with Elisha? I'll tell you what happened. God said, I've shown you mercy at the head of the stream. You want to mock that? I'll show you wrath. I'll show you damnation. The Bible's teaching us here in Revelation. Out of His mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword. Verse 16, and He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I don't know about you, but I can't read that without getting excited. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. He cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come, gather yourselves together under the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against Him that sat on the horse and against His army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Beloved, it's just not being preached anymore. But it's still the truth. I wondered when I began to study this. I said, God, how is that You showing up when 42 young'uns are being mauled by two bears? God said, I'll tell you how. There's a warning to be sounded. I show up not only in mercy, but I show up in judgment. And the Word of God said here, notice they're cast alive into the burning, the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of Him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of His mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. You say, preacher, surely you don't believe that. Surely I do. I believe that just as sure as I'm saved, amen, I believe. Listen, in the Word of God, it's either already happened or it's happening, or you mark it down. If God said it, honey, it will happen just like it says in the Word of God. A beloved friend tonight, where is the Lord God of Elijah? He showed up over here, didn't He? In that reflection of where the Spirit of God, the spirit of Elijah rested upon Elisha. He showed up over here as we looked at this morning, not only in the reflection, but in the instruction that was given to those men that refused the instruction of Elisha. He showed up in the situation when the water was brackish and the water was poison and the ground was being killed because of it. And then he shows up in the chapter in damnation. It's not pleasant. I was listening to the radio years and years ago when God taught me something. Somebody was preaching on hell on the radio, and boy, they were just wide open preaching on hell. But listen to me carefully. They said something like this: if you don't get saved, you're going to die and you're going to go to hell. And then they said, praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you something right now. That didn't sit well with me then. I don't believe one of us at the great white throne judgment, when it's our loved one or our friend, our co-worker. Brother Larry told me this morning about a man that up at Bristol, there was a recycling place that blew up. And there was a man that had been witnessing to a man. And he said he saw sparks in a machine. He said, sir, we need to get out of here. And they went out of the plant. The lost man said, I'm going back in. He said, no, don't go back in there. Don't go back in there. He went back in there, and it blew up. And that man's laying, the saved man is laying with steel impregnated into his body right now. But his heart is broken for the man that he knows, Brother Steve, died without God and went to hell because he refused the Jesus of the Bible. Beloved, let me tell you something tonight. I asked God years ago, I said, God, my wife will tell you. I asked God, I said, don't ever let me preach on hell without a broken heart. Yes, hell needs to be preached on. God's judgment needs to be preached on. But God, don't let me stand here and preach on hell without a broken heart. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, Jesus is sounding the warning in this chapter. Jesus is showing up. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? I'm glad I can see him in the pages of God's word. Aren't you? Let's bow for prayer this evening. Thank you for coming. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for coming. I'm glad that he's here tonight. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? The Bible teaches he's omnipresent. What's that mean? That means he's everywhere. You can't go anywhere where he's not. He's here tonight. I brought him with me. He lives. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Do you know him tonight? Do you know him? I want you to think about that as the trio sings tonight, what God has put on their heart. I want you to think about that. I want to ask you tonight, beloved, listen, if the Lord would be so kind as to knock at your heart's door. You say, preacher, I don't know him. I have no assurance that heaven would be my home if I died. You may know of a fact. You may know that it wouldn't be your home if you died. I would ask you tonight, if the Spirit of God would be so kind as to knock, I'd ask you to let him in to your life tonight.